Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
2020 has been the year of things happening that are completely out of your control. There's one thing you can control, and that's shaving. Our sponsors are Manscaped, are here to remind you to do so. Manscaped is here to provide you with the best tools for your grooming experience. Chaz, have you had any funny manscaping experiences?
Okay, so here you go, Derek Riley. I used to only ever say, shave your face, right? Don't shave anything but your face, because it is totally brilliant to shave your face before you razor shave with Manscaped. But I've realized women don't like chest hair either. And so I've gone south. I have gone to the chest, and it's totally easy. And I mean, do you shave your chest?
I think men who shave the chest are half men, Chaz.
I don't shave all of it. I just shave the top part that comes up to my neck. So it's like an extension of my face down, right? I leave the chest, I suppose. I misspoke. But I shave the top third, the neck portion of my chest.
That's ghastly. Yeah, you get that thing where you get a little regrowth, and you see the regrowth on men, and you go, God, you actually shave the hair on your chest and your neck. I mean, yeah.
But I ain't going razor down there. So I'm just cutting the weird fluff that grows up over my V-neck. That's it.
Oh, yes, fair enough. But you can probably just trim that with scissors. It's probably a more effective experience.
Are you kidding me? The Manscaped tool makes it like I don't even have to think about it. I just do it in seconds, and I'm gold.
Well, in fact, listeners to the show will get 20% off and free shipping with the code DIRTYWATER at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. And you use the code DIRTYWATER. Please use DIRTYWATER, because this whole thing will be pointless unless you use DIRTYWATER. So if you're going to do it, use DIRTYWATER, please. It's time to grab 2020 by the horns and shave. Take your grooming game to the next level.
The wait is finally over. Football is back. You might not be at the game this year, but you can still be in on the action of Bet Online. Chaz, have you been betting?
I haven't been betting yet, but that's only because it's so frustrating to bet here, where I am so happy for easy online betting, because I've always got an instinct that's always wrong.
What would you be laying your money on?
Oh, right now, I'd go hard on Joe Biden, to be honest. Do they bet politics or no?
I don't know. I think so, yeah. You can bet Biden. I think he's probably a 1.5-to-1 semi-favorite.
I mean, I guess I wouldn't bet him, but
I'd bet on Joe Biden fucking dying in the Oval Office.
Trump feels to me like he's cooked. This is not going to be a good ad talking about how Trump is cooked.
But how good is Kamala Harris? She's beautiful.
I mean, except now she's offline. She's been derailed by the COVID.
An assistant got COVID, huh?
Yeah, but they're really taking her offline purposefully to show how much more responsible they are.
How much she cares.
Yep.
And how much better she looks in Timberland boots than Melania Trump, huh?
I mean, my goodness.
Okay, so from game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any place online. And there is always the online casino as well. It never closes. You can just spend all your money, lose everything you got, lose your wife's money, lose everyone's money. Okay, so head to betonline.ag today. AG, I guess, is Antigua. Isn't that amazing?
Sweet. That's where I want to be betting.
Sure. I want to go to Antigua. So head to BetOnline Antigua today. BetOnline.ag today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Again, that's BetOnline.ag for Antigua and sign up today. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. It was sometime in the mid-90s when photos of a skinny kid from public housing in Maroubra throwing himself over ledges started appearing on the desks of surf magazine photo editors. Porto, Hawaii, the newly discovered slab at Cape Solander that was renamed ours, wasn't a damn wave Wayne Cleveland wouldn't touch. No one in the mag game knew who he was, except that he ripped. Like most bright kids who grew up in public housing, he was a fast talker, athletic, and knew how to handle himself in a fight, to put it mildly. I remember a phone call to my office in Hossegor, France, the familiar laughter pouring down the line, and a request to set the gendarmes right, who had mistakenly arrested him for something or other. He's the only man I've ever seen exit a lockup, and I've seen a few, oddly enough, shaking everyone's hands. Then came a gorgeous house fashioned entirely in shades of white that would feature in myriad design magazines and a bunch of kids. all going real good, except the cash was coming from running coke out of the US using airline food caterers, and the cops were on his trail. Long story short, the cops confiscated everything he owned, including the pretty house. He got 10 to 16 years, did 10, and is now back in Maroubra doing a little fitness work and acting as a cautionary tale to any kids who think drug smuggling might be a business worth examining. Welcome to Dirty Water with Wayne Cleveland.
Derek, always a pleasure, my good friend.
Hey, so no real need to beat around any bushes. How did you get into the coke trade?
Well, I got offered an opportunity many, many years ago when I was overseas. And a good friend of mine offered me a little something to do. So I said, yeah, mate, so I'm keen. I pretty much had the balls to do it. You know, I never thought twice about it. When you do these things, right, this is exactly the scenario I put myself in. When I'm at pipe and backdoor, when I paddle for a wave, mate, I'm paddling 110%. Once you start hesitating, that's when you're going to get yourself into trouble. So I got offered an opportunity. I took it. But his older brother come back and says, mate, I don't want you to do it. We're pulling that up, you know, no, no, no. So I said, come on, mate, I can do this, rah, rah, rah. And then so I go back to the younger brother, and said, mate, your big brother doesn't want me to do this. You know what I mean? He goes, yeah, he's had a word with me, unfortunately, mate. You know, we're going to have to pull the pin. I said, I'm fucking clean, mate, let's go. You know, I need some money. I've had nothing, you know. I'm living on the bare ass. I'm, you know, bones in my ass.
How old are you at this stage?
At this stage, I reckon I'm about 22. So I was in Hawaii. So I've been there so many times, and I knew everybody, and like I just hooked up with a good family. You know, they were good, mate. They treated me like their second son. You know, and so it kind of popped up, but I'd already done a few little things prior to that, like just the pot runs here and there. You know what I mean? And just in all sincerity, I did a big acid run back in the day. That was my first legit gig. Like I went over to the States to actually purchase all these eckies, right?
Yeah.
And then what happened was the guy I went to get when I got there actually got killed. So that got postponed. Yeah, yeah. I went, what am I going to do here? You know, I'm a very good friend of mine, Eric. And so, may you rest in peace. So the boys are out wide a little bit, going, mate, we got all this acid, mate, it's 30 cents, rah, rah, rah. And I'm going, ticking over my head, I'm going, well, mate, acid's like $25. You know what I mean? I'm going, don't tip my, I can sell sheets for $100, mate, that means 10 that all the boys are making. So I brought over 5,000 sheets of acid. So that was my first.
So that's 50 grand's worth of acid.
Yeah, so that was my first real thing. You know, I did a little bit of pot running around Australia, you know, but that was my first real introduction. Like I got offered over here, but then my first real gig was the acid.
How did you get it from the US to here?
I put them in envelopes. I bought a big box of envelopes, and then I just stashed hoops of sheets in the envelopes. You know, like a big box of envelopes. That's how it was. I just put them all in there. So what I did was I wrapped them up and just stuck them in the envelopes.
Yeah.
Mate, just in so many, because, you know, the big boxes like that over in the States, they're massive.
Yeah.
So I just cruised, mate, just walked straight through Canada. I never hesitated. When I did those things, I never hesitated, mate. Like, I was just so calm and natural about it. I just was one of those things for me. It was like second nature. I truly was. And this is a true story. One year, I go to Bali, and I'm coming back from Bali. I'm with my ex-partner and the kids, and I'm sweating bullets. She looks at me and goes, mate, what's going on? Mate, it was like one of the only times I'd never travelled ever with anything on me. I was sweating bullets, but I had nothing on me. I kid you not. I just swear to God, mate, you know what I mean? Mate, my kids, she thought I had something because I was sweating so hard. I said, I got fucking nothing, love.
What were you sweating?
I don't know. I just worked myself up, obviously, you know, and I had nothing. Yeah. I had nothing on me. But when I had something, I was cool as a cucumber.
Yeah.
Not even a boot of sweat, mate. Yeah, so, after we did that, I went back straight back over with the answer, and I went, oh, mate, this is a good little thing. And then the boys go, mate, what about this? Well, I think the ounces were like $350. Mate, ounces here at that time were like $5,000.
Of coke. Yeah, yeah.
So I had plenty of cash. So I went, you know what? Fuck it. I said, give us a couple of kilos. I said, bomb. So I just don't that way. I said, so this is how it went. But I knew everybody because I've been in this area for so long. Everybody knew me. So it wasn't like I wasn't dealing with people out wide, and that was one bloke introduced me to this one person. Ever since I met that person, mate, that was my turn. So for 16 years, I did with the same crew over there. Yeah. The same crew. Mate, they loved me. They absolutely loved me. I'd bring their kids over, like fluffy toys, like the kangaroos and the koalas, the yam. Yeah, I would. I promise. Yeah. Little shirts and stuff. Yeah, they absolutely loved me. Every time I was there, there's barbecues kicked down. All Mexican.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then I remember the first time I did it, right? So I'm jumping here and there. So excuse me for that because little things are flashing up in my head. So I'm just, you know. And I remember I grabbed one stage. They only had 10 ounces there, right? And they were waiting for more stock. I said, well, just give me that because it was good. So I said, just give me that and we'll get off.
So it's 14 ounces in a kilo, is that correct?
36 ounces in a kilo.
Right, okay.
So there's 36 ounces in a kilo. So at this stage, they only had this big brick. It was 10 ounces. I said, well, give me that, you know what I mean? And then I'll wait for 2 days and then just give me the other 2.5 kilos, you know? And the old Mexican bloke's there and that, and he's like, yeah, give them money, you know, and I'll grab this shit. And he goes, how long does it take you to drive to Australia? And I kind of looked at him and went, what do you mean, mate? He goes, where is it? How long does it take you to drive? I said, mate, it's a 14-hour flight. He goes, what do you mean? I said, mate, it's a 14-hour. He goes, you take that on the plane? I said, yeah. And he was just dumbfounded, you know what I mean? That's how Mexicans, you know what I mean? It's just like, it's either Mexico or America, you know what I mean? That's their big thing, you know? America's their big thing, yeah. So the poor old bloke, he had no idea. Yeah.
And so what happened? You waited for your other 2.5 kilos?
Oh, we just a little bit under 2.5 because I already had the 10 ounces. And then, so I grabbed that, mate, and then just become an everyday routine, mate. I would, this is how I did it. I'd get it. I'd take it to a friend's place. I would roll it out, with a big rolling pin. You know, put plastic on the bottom, like a hard surface on the bottom.
It's kind of paste-like.
Well, it's proper bricks, you know what I mean? Yeah. But it gets a bit sticky and gluggy, you know what I mean? So, and then you have to mould it to your body.
Yeah.
So you mould it to your body. So what I would do, I'd roll it out, right? And then I would vacuum seal it real tight. And then I'd fucking, it was like almost like a back brace.
Yeah,
you
know what I
mean? So you're there, you've got it here, mate, you've got it around your back, all around your belly, you've got it down your side, you know what I mean? So and you roll it out. So I would do that. I would strip naked, right? I'd get the other boy, my mate, he would wipe everything, spray wipe it all the things off so there's no fingerprints and stuff like that. I'd jump in the shower, I'd go into the next room, I'd put on a brand new pair of clothes, right? I always put two white singlets, undies, and some shorts. And I had like a t-shirt, but I always wore like this jacket. I always wore this jacket and a pair of shoes. It was just, that's just how it was because that's what worked for me. And I was comfortable. So what I would do is I'd go in there, I'd change, he'd bring everything out. And then when I'd come out into the lounge room, I put one white singlet on with some undies. And then he would strap the shit to me, right? And then I would put another white singlet over the top. Because when you're doing these things, you want to wear less clothes. Like, just say you've got your shorts and shirts on now. You want to look, mate, it's in the middle of summer, mate, if you're rocking up with tracksuits, jackets, and you know what I mean? It's just go, what's he doing? So you want to kind of wear the bare minimum so it looks like you got nothing on, you know what I mean? And back in the early days, like, just say you were taking me to the airport, you could park your car, you could walk all the way out to the gate with me.
Mm.
But after the 2001 bombing, they stopped all that. So if you dropped me off at the airport, that was it. You had to kind of, you would go and I'd have to, you know, just check in and go through one border check. Because when you're leaving America, there's only one, like you go to the ticket counter and then you walk around, then you go through one screen. Mm. It's not like when you leave Sydney, mate, there's quite a few checks before you actually get to the gate. Yeah. In America, there's not. You hand in, you get your ticket, you walk through one little scanner, that's it, you're up in the gates.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
And so you're strapped. One thing, when you're strapping yourself, you're thinking, mate, are you ready to do the time? Was that going through your head? Never thought about it?
Never, it didn't even cross my mind.
No.
No, it didn't cross my mind because I never thought of getting caught.
Yeah.
I never did. I wouldn't say I was arrogant or cocky. I just, like I said, mate, it was second nature. But I just didn't, even the first time I did it, mate, I didn't even, mate, like, because I was a bad pothead back in the day. So, mate, I said, like, I'd fucking punch cones, you know what I mean? We'd drive down there, we'd smoke a joint on the way down, because where it was about an hour and a half, it was nearly an hour and 45 minutes to the airport. We'd pull over, I'd get an In-N-Out burger, you load up on me In-N-Out burger, punch another 3 or 4 cones in there. I'd walk in the airport, eyes bleeding, mate, I'm just stoned as a bat, yeah, rocker. I just put on that persona. I just switched over I talked to a lady, a guy, whatever it is. Yeah, mate, how are you? Yeah, you have a good trip. Yeah, it was unreal, mate, you know, rah, rah, rah. Booking me a year, got me in and out, burger. I'm blue, my eyes are bleeding. I've got my backpack, you know, dropped my luggage in with my boards and shit, you know what I mean? And I just walk off through. And because I was such a little blonde-headed kid with a little bit of beach, a little fuzz on my chin and that, mate, you wouldn't, you there's no way in the world that you would have just gone.
That you were strapped with 3 kilos of coke.
No way. You wouldn't even, mate, no, you wouldn't even second look at me.
Yeah.
You wouldn't second guess me.
So what happened then? So you got onto the plane with 3 kilos.
Yeah, so what I'd do is I'd get on the plane and then I would wait for about 20 minutes before the flight would land into Sydney, right? You know, so you got to strap it tight, but sometimes, you know, back in the day, you could take scissors on the plane, so I'd tape it and then I'd just cut it a bit just so you could breathe because it's, mate, you got that shit tight. Like, so you're like fucking, like a, what are those girls with? Garters.
Yeah, yeah,
it's
like
a girdle. It's like a girdle. Yeah. A girdle. Yeah, okay, yeah. It's just like a girdle, you know, you got it that tight. So I'd loosen a little bit. And the reason why I didn't drop it too early is just because if the bins got overflowed or whatever reason, you know what I mean? And then like the stewardess would come in and empty the bins and shit like that. So I'd wait 20 minutes out, know that we're landing, go in, you know how people go into the toilets before they land and wash their face and hair and that. And I'd just do that, mate, rip out the paper, throw the shit on the very bottom of the bin, and then I'd go back to the seat. And I always wanted to sit at the back. I always asked to sit at the back when I was a little kid. As time progressed and I started making money, I went, fuck, I'm not sitting in the economy. I started going business, mate. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Yeah. The stretch out seats, you know what I mean? Well, you could afford it back then. But those first few, I did that. So what happened was the boys, I'm not saying anything that will get anybody into trouble because we've all done time. So all of us have done time. I'd see the gate gourmet truck pull up. And I'm looking out the window at the boys and I'm just like that, giving them the thumbs up, going, fuck, it's all good, mate. You know what I mean? And then they come up on the hoist, bang, because they're there to clean the plane and take off all the food and everything like that to clean it out, to restock it, and they have to, you know, to go. So those boys would come in. I'd be standing there waiting because it's always a rush, you know, it's like getting off the plane and shit, you know what I mean? So I let everyone rush off and do that. And I just sit there and I just look at them and just give them like a little nod and stuff, you know what I mean? And they'd laugh and give me a little wink, you know, and then I would walk off. So what happened was they grab it. Throw it in one of the catering bins, you know. Like, there's a full documentary on it.
Yeah.
There's a show, I forget, that's called, like, the AFP. So there's a full show exactly, what went down. But you're hearing it from the horse's mouth now, the nitty-gritty of things, you know. So
Were there any points when you went to the bathroom, 20 minutes to landing, and some cunt wouldn't get out of the bathroom? You go, mate, I have to get in there.
Well, there was times where, you know, you'd have to wait. And I would wait because I had a certain bathroom.
Right.
So I wouldn't use that one because we had that certain bathroom. Because when they open that back door, there's a bathroom straight to your right. So you have one facing this way and then you have one facing that way, you know what I mean? Like it's like an L, like that. So I would never use that one. I would use that one. So when that gate opens at the plane door at the back, boom, they just step in, step straight into the toilet, grab it, and then step back out into their big truck.
Yeah.
So it was a matter of 20 steps.
Yeah.
You know, bang, grab it, bang, bang, and drop it in there. Then they go about their work.
Yeah.
So if I was waiting for a Pacific toilet, just say you were behind me, I'd go, yeah, mate, you're right, mate. You use that one. Yeah. You sure? Yeah, no, I'm just waiting for my mate here. They don't know, I don't know this person.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, okay, yeah. So I would wait specifically for that toilet because that's just how it rolled, you know what I mean? Because it was easier for the boys that they are the gate gourmet to do that, you know, and that's what we had down. So if I threw it in the other toilet and I didn't tell them, they would miss it.
Yeah, right, okay.
Yeah. And there was times here and there that there was a miss. There was a miss, you know what I mean? Like, there was other people that kind of got a bit confused and, like, we'd get, like, half the load. And, like, mate, I think it was only happened, like, maybe one or two times, and that was it. So I was very adamant with people.
Yeah.
Because I had a plane, like, exactly the outlaying of a plane. So I'd marked across. I said, study this, boys or girls, whoever it was doing. I said, that's where you put it.
Yeah.
Everyone puts it. You just wait in line, you just wait, bang. I said, if that paper gets overflowing, I said, rip it out and just flush it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because that's it, you know what I mean? So that's how it is. So when the boys grabbed it, they would finish the truck. We got to walk through. I'd stop and get some, you know, cigarettes or whatever and like some drink, and then I'd go through constant, mate. By the time you get out of there, mate, it's got to be easy an hour and a half, mate. But I'd already have that sitting up in front of my house because I lived in the houses at this age, mate. So my mum come and pick me up one time, right? I forget who she was with because my mum didn't have a license. I forget exactly who drove. It might have been one of my brothers that drove Ryan. I'm just trying to think. But they had no idea at this stage. They had no idea what was going on. So she's come in and picked me up. And I've come home, you know, and I move, come home, yeah. And she's looked to the right and she's gone, are you expecting a bag here, Wayne? I went, oh, yeah. I said, the boys left some clothes. It was a big whip coat bag. I said, oh, yeah, the boys, mate, no, there's 5 kilos in there. You know what I mean? yeah. And I'm just going, oh, yeah, the boys. So it was already dropped off before I'd even got home. That's how quick and how smooth the operation went. And this went on for a long time, mate.
How long?
16 years.
Jesus. And how many deliveries a year would you do?
Well, me personally, I ran my gig myself personally. I did it for 8 years. I did it easy 3 to 5 runs every year. So I'd put 2.5. That was a very comfortable amount for people. A few heads that I know, that they would do 3.
Yeah.
Because I would pay, if you want to do that, I said, mate, I'll give you 20 grand each kilo you brought back. Right. You know what I mean?
So if you do 2.5, you get 50 grand.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. But I'm doing myself. So that's where I made most profit. So I'm going into the banks in the city, changing all my money. I'm strapping the money to me, flying into America, right? I get to America, I see the people. I said, mate, I always go for a 2-week holiday. I said, mate, I'm going to be back in 12 days. I said, mate, I need fucking 5, whatever it may be, you know, because I might have somebody with me also. So it'd be, you know, so we'd always, either I would go by myself or I'd have a friend with me. That was back in the late, like this comes later when I have my own store. So what I did was 8 years by myself. Then a few people knew what I was doing, obviously close friends, you know.
Mm.
They go, mate, any chance? I said, mate, of course. Mate, you know what I mean? You're keen. I said, mate, let's go. So I'll go with them and I'll do it.
Yeah.
In the back end of the show, mate, this is how it's done. So as I started having kids, I start pulling back a bit, you know. So I start steering the ship a little bit more. But I think that's where I gained most of my money because I did everything myself. I went over, told the Mexicans, I'm here, fucking have this mountain ready. I'm gonna need it this day. Boom. So they'd pick me up, we'd go for a job, they'd check, yeah, it's all good. I'd give them the money, they give it, and they drop me back. So, and then I just did it. And then my mate would, you know, take me to the airport, so forth, and like how I was telling you. So I did this, mate, 3 to 5 times a year, easy.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. And look, back then, those days, you're getting a kilo in America for $16,000, which would cost you about 22 grand Australian. But they're only going for 120 here. But you could chop the shit out of them back then because the ounces were only 5.
Yeah.
As time progressed, inflation, all the shit, mate, I'm getting them between 16 and 20 grand then, you know what I mean, US at this later on. But I'm getting rid of them here for 200.
Yeah.
So that's when the big bickies started rolling in. But I had to pay more people. Because I wasn't doing everything then. Right. So I had people flying over there, you know what I mean, staying at in a hotel. My mate would come and see him, how many we need, rah, rah, rah. Then he'd go tell the Mexicans, Wayne's crew's here. Mate, they need fucking, you know, but we've got 4 people, mate, so get us at least 10 kegs, you know what I mean? Yeah. So we need 10. And this is just how it went on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And mate, it's very hard to say how many times I did this because it was always someone putting their hand up. But I come, mate, I don't know, mate, any chance? I said, mate, you want to go next week? That's how it was. Yeah, it's 2.5. I'll do 3, fuck it. So, mate, they do 3 kicks and then I give them 60 grand.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then I paid the boys 20 grand each for picking up at the airport.
Yeah.
So, per keg, you know what I mean? So, so I'm paying the runner, just say he brings in 3 kilos. So he's getting 60 grand, and the boys at the airport are getting 60 grand. So there was 3 boys that were always on operation. So they'd get 60 grand. So they'd get 20 grand each, you know.
Yeah.
And so you look at it. So you're bringing in 3 kilos. So we go back in the day. So my outlay, so there's 120 off the bat. So I paid for the 3 kilos. So that's 120 plus. So that's 180 grand, right? Okay, you've outlaid. Maybe, let's just go flat rate, you know, because you've got to give them money to spend, pay for the hotel. Yeah,
200,
right? So let's just go 200, right? The rest is just straight out profit.
Yeah.
So, you know, you come in, you jazz it up a bit. I should call it Johnny Depp, 21 Jump Street. Get in there, you fucking bounce off the road, throw a little bit of this in there, repress it up. And, mate, I'd sell the kegs for 120, mate. So I'm making a clear, mate, easy, mate, 250, 300 grand.
Yeah.
Easy. But that's only on one run and one bike. So when you got 4 people on board, you know what I mean, and they're all, you know, you're doing this and doing that, mate, you're making a squillion.
Yeah. So how much, in a good year, how much could you make? $1 million?
Oh, more than that.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Easy. Yeah. More than that. I remember one stage, yeah, I sat down, and it was a nightmare, and I tried to get one of those counting machines. I had 2.5 there. I had 2.5 sitting there. Yeah, mate, I wanted a counting machine.
Yeah.
I was trying my asses to get one, and I had a mate that had a company. I said, try it. He goes, mate, people just don't order counting machines. He goes, well, I can't fucking, he goes, I don't do enough business for me to justify order. I said, man, he goes, mate, you got all the time in the world. Yeah, sit there and fucking count it. I went, fuck, because it took forever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm going to sit there and count 2.5.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So.
And this is money from people buying it off, so there'd be 20s and.
No. No, mate, I was just straight at wholesale. Right, okay. I never broke it down. I just give the kegs to certain people, and that's how it went down. Right. I never, like, don't get me wrong, I used to love a little party back in the day. I'd take a big chunk for myself, and you know what I mean? Like an ounce, and just, and then, but everything else, mate, just, I never started breaking down to grams and all that, mate. Right, okay. Mate, it's just too many people.
Yeah.
I mean, too many people, and mate, I had such a trustworthy crew. Well, so I thought. Yeah. But, well, look, at the end of the day, My whole crew, no one rolled. Mm. from the guys at the airport to the guys who carried it, got caught strapping it to them, mate. Like I said, so what I'm saying now is no one can get in trouble. I'm not throwing names around, but every single one, mate, from at the end, like, I used to get the boys down here to change all my money and stuff, mate. So everybody got pinched, mate. They sat on us for 2.5 years. They rounded everybody up in one day. Everybody. And it's, you know, so it was... So what I'm saying is nothing, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So when you're cutting it, so you've got a kilo, how much do you cut it? What does kilo turn into?
Well, okay, this is, say, if I give it to somebody up the coast, like it's to say halfway up between Queensland and here, you know what I mean? Back, their ounces, we're only going for 48, right? Mate, they're lucky to get fucking 45%. What they would do, right? See, I'd sell to them for a bit more, and everyone has to have, you've got to leave meat on the bone, we say. Leave a little, everyone wants to have a little bite of the bone. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can't, if there's no meat on the bone, why are you going to do it? There's nothing in it for you. So they would chop it in half. So they make 1 kilo into two, but they only sell their ounces between 45 to 4,800.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I'd give it to them, say, for 200.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're making a killing off that. You know, so but back when I was first doing it, and I started jumping on it a little bit, I'd only do that if it was extremely dry.
Yeah.
And you know the market. When you're in that game, you know, mate, if that people, mate, you're a champo, mate, there's nothing, you know what I mean? You'd come in and, well, I've got this for you, you know, it's 120. What percent, oh, mate, something like fucking 65%. Oh, mate, but there's nothing there.
Yeah.
Mate, so people are going to take it. They'd rather have something than nothing.
Yeah.
So they can still make a note, you know what I mean? So that they do their little thing. But at the end, mate, I was just straight out just wholesaling, mate, which I pretty much did from day one. just get rid of the keg straight off the bat.
So it's not hanging around the house and you're trying to cut it.
Oh, mate, you know, like I've done it. You know what I mean? It's flying up everywhere. You don't want to do a line. Mate, you're off your head by the end of it. You know, you've done a cut, but you're off your head. You're fucking pressing this and you're doing that. And, you know, you got the little mask on, but you're still, it's soaking into your orifices. You know what I mean? It's just, it's getting in. You know what I mean? I'm just coming out this car, mate. Dinging, my head's dinging, you know what I mean? And the last thing you want to do is have a Frankie on a Wednesday or something. You know what I mean? Yeah. You got things to do, there's kids and shit. Yeah, you know what I mean? So,
what do you call it, a Frankie?
Oh, what would you call it? Frankenstein, a lion.
Oh, Frankenstein, right.
The old
what's next?
Yeah, what's next?
So what do you cut it with?
Well,
you hear horror stories, you know, rat sack and shit, which doesn't make sense to me.
Mate, people, look, why are you going to kill your customers?
Yeah.
Like, why are you going to put rat sack and shit in, mate? Usually, you got your Glenbuterol, which is a stripper, you know what I mean? You throw that kind of gives you that pump up too.
Right, okay.
Yeah. So what they do is they give it to horses, so it makes them super lean. So Glenbuterol is it's a stripper. So you just come out, you like people, when you see, they're just ripped, the veins are popping up, you know what I mean? So that, because that gives you a buzz in itself, just taking that alone. So you you throw the Glenbuterol, mate, people are coming back for more. Mate, they're staying awake for longer.
And they're looking amazing, too.
Yeah, exactly, you know. And then you have your, I remember this one, right? We got this one, and My mate went down and got it when we were cutting. I forget what it was, but it come back. It was like a tutti frutti, because that's what they end up calling. That's what they end up calling the couple of kilos I bought through. I think about 5 kilos I bought. Mate, they called it the tutti frutti because I threw some to whack it up. But it was like it wasn't protein powder. It was something else where you have like after you've had a train, it kind of gives you like a little pump.
Yeah.
So, you know, I forget the name of it. Oh, it'll come to me. Yeah. Yeah, well, I threw it in there, but he ran down. Instead of getting the plane stuff, he got these fucking fruit cocktail and shit. I was like, fuck, because people are waiting. So I had to throw that in and people go, what the fuck did you come with? It's like, we're calling this tutti frutti. Yeah, so there's a couple of little mishaps here and there, you know, but I like just not to bother dealing with that, mate.
Yeah.
Just bang, bang, mate. It's over and done with, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, at the end stage, mate, they would grab it off the plane. They would meet Mike, because I usually just sold pretty much to the same people every time. It was pretty much two people. But even if I bought 10 in, mate, they get 5 each. Mate, yeah. He was okay. Maybe they over there wanted to be on the money. Mate, well, I'll take the 10. If he's comfortable over there, he's doing his thing. You know, mate, there you go. You know, off 3, 2, whatever it may be. You know, whatever it came in. There. Mate, if only one person went, it was only 2.5. They could fit 3, it was 3. But so what I would do is I ring. You know, that's how they got caught onto the code, you know, these fuckers. They're good, mate, I'll tell you.
The cops.
Mate, when they're on you, mate, they're like super glue. Mate, when they're on you, mate, they can drop the ball a million times, right? If you drop the ball once, you're gone. So you have to be alert 24-7 if you're up doing the shit. And you know they're on you? 24-7, you have to be on the ball. Mate, they don't have to be on the ball 24-7. But don't have to, they can drop the ball because they know your persistence and your arrogance is going to fucking be the end of you. They know that. And that's what happened to me. My persistence and my arrogance. Even though I didn't do nothing for 2.5 years,
yeah.
I was still arrogant. And I was just still persistent. And I had that, fuck them, you know, that attitude to have, mate. Well, at the end of the day, mate, they're doing their job, mate. What am I, you know what I mean? But what are you supposed to do, you know?
So what happened? How did you get bust? How did the whole operation?
Well, what brought us down was Rusty Sester. He's the guy who used to ride for that Crusty Demons. Yeah, he brought the fucking whole syndicate down, mate. Gee, someone vouched for him, mate. He's unreal. This is the guy, rah, rah, rah. Mate, he just brought the whole fucking thing down. Just putting money back into his own account, doing shit.
Yeah.
Straight out. Just no good, mate. He brought the whole fucking syndicate down, like all of us, mate. Like the amount of money I lost through the houses and everything, mate. I think we've tried to round it up, but not long ago, I think it was only like 5.5.
Wow.
That I lost. You know, mate, I've got nothing, but I've never been happier. But I thought the big house on the hill, sending my kids to Campbell and Cranbrook and 30,000, I was like 28 grand a year. Like around
and famously, you paid the school fees in cash.
Yeah, that's right.
That was one of the things that got you screwed, wasn't it?
Well, they got onto me through this Rusty Sester. And so that's how they started tracking me and Brandy Brandt. See, she was a Playboy model. That was Rusty's girlfriend. So they you know what I mean? Someone vouched for him and I went, okay, mate, a good mate of mine. So vouched for him. And then them two brought the whole fucking syndicate down. Then when I went down,
they just... Because they were flashy with the cash.
Oh, they were flashy with it, mate. They sent the back cash in their own accounts, their friends' accounts. They fucking, mate, they just did everything they were supposed not to do. They done everything wrong. And then when it come down to it, mate, they start talking on phones. They know they're off. So what we call it is a professional drop, left-hand drop. They know they're off, but they're talking on the phones. Yeah, this guy. Yeah, this Wayne Clifton, mate. He's the one. You know, so what they're doing is they're giving me up, right? But they kind of go, oh, no, I didn't. I go, mate, the fucking phone calls you. Fucking nit. You're speaking on the phone. You know you're off. You know that we're under investigation. And you're speaking on the phone like that. Mate, that's a professional left-hand drop. I said, you fucking know that, you know? So they sunk us.
Yeah.
Mate, and even the feds said, okay, mate, what the... He goes, he pointed, he goes, Rusty Sester. He goes, mate, he brought the whole fucking syndicate down.
So if you're under investigation, why didn't you just stop?
I did.
Oh, you did?
I did. I stopped for 2.5 years, mate.
Yeah.
I stopped for 2.5 years because they found a load, right? And we'd never really lost a load, only that there was like one or two times where people had put it in the wrong spot. That's the only time we ever lost a load. When they got that load, I think it was like, I can't remember because I think they got me at the end for like 19.8 kilos, but that was over a period of 3 pinches because I showed my arrogance, you know what I mean? I was very arrogant. So what happened was, they got the first one right, and then I went, oh, fuck, lucky find or not. Asked the boys at the airport, mate, there's nothing. So about 2 months later or something, maybe 6 weeks, I'm not too sure of the time dates, you know. But I went, I said, fuck it. I said, just go over there, mate, grab two kegs, you know. So one of the boys flew, grabbed the two kegs, and we make it back. They make it back. I went, fuck, lucky find. I said, mate, it had to be a lucky find. I said, mate, little did I know, they were watching us. But at this stage, I have everyone in place. So when it comes off the plane, the driver drives straight to the people there waiting there. He just throws in the car, he drives off. Mm. So it's not coming back to me and this and that. So all eyes are on me. How they haven't really figured the nitty gritty. I think Rusty's given them a rough idea, but he doesn't know where everybody's and what role everybody plays. So, everybody has their like place where to be. So I'm sitting back and I'm like, after the 2 kilos come through, I went, you know what? I said, I think we're pretty lucky. I said, mate, they might have been just a lucky find. So I sent over like fucking four heads. I said, mate, we're on. It's still because over there, I've already bought 25 kilos. So I've got 25 kilos sitting there. So obviously we've been pinched with the first load. We've got two. I said, go get the fucking rest, you know? So the boys, the girls, they're all in. They go over there to grab it. So when when they come back through, boom, they nail it. And that's when I knew. I said, we're off. And then that's why my mate, who got busted out, goes, mate, they're fucking everywhere. I said, he goes, they're everywhere. I said, we're fucking done. So, mate, can you imagine? You can't sleep. Mate, you go, oh, mate, when am I going to get grabbed? Mate, I remember sitting on the steps one time because it was all over the news. Mate, it was on the news. It was on the
fucking. So this stage, they'd found all the two. And they hadn't busted you yet.
No.
And that's when the surveillance started.
No. Yeah. Well, they started surveillancing early, but they knew it was me because of him telling me, or more or less over the phone telling them, fucking rah, rah, dropping my name. So so all focus was on me, but everybody around me, they couldn't figure out where they sat or what role they played. So I pulled back, and then I met my mate who was the boss at Gate Gourmet, and I said, mate, what's the go? He goes, mate, they're everywhere. It's fucking shut shop. But little do I know, they're watching me have this meeting. So now they know. If you figure this later, when they give you all their discs, you know what I mean? And there I'm having a meeting here, and I'm over there thinking I'm smart, leaving at 4:30.
So they have to show you all that for the court case, don't they?
That's right.
Yeah.
Because if I'm pleading guilty, they don't really have to give all the shit, you know what I mean? But if I'm fighting it, which I was at the beginning, because I didn't know how much they had, and I wanted to see what they had. So they give me the disc, and I see these meetings. So back then, like, I don't realise I'm under surveillance. I do realise I'm under surveillance, but to what extent, I don't realise. So I meet my mate at Gate Morning, he goes, this, we're done. So we give it a good break, mate, for 2.5 years. And then he contacts me, and he goes, mate, I want to start up a coffee shop. I said, okay, mate. I said, he goes, but I need about, $50,000. I said, mate, do you want me to spot you? Nah, he goes, fucking, let's go for it. I said, yeah, all right, mate. All right. I said, listen, I said, this is the sinker for me, right? So there, I'm at an athletics field. They're on the very other side. So they're filming. This meeting's at 5:30 in the morning. So I've got my bearings going, mate, there's no one around. Look, we're sweet. Little do I know, they're fucking filming. You can see this on the AFP, the show.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're filming, mate. They've got to be 100 metres away, and they've got this boom mic on me because it's 5 o'clock, 5:30 in the morning, and they had it at the outside of the car bugged. So we're standing a fair way. Mate, they get every bit of the conversation. You'll see me standing there like this, going, oh, mate. And I said, I go to me, mate. I go, mate, we're fucking off here. I said, but if you're keen, I said, fuck them. Fuck these cunts. I said, let's go for it. He goes, yeah, fuck it. I said, mate, there was a singer because I said, mate, we've been doing this for a long time, mate, extremely long. I said, we've been very lucky. He's like, yeah, fuck them. And that was like, yeah, fuck these people. So he goes for the run, and that's when they bring us all down. 2009, September 20th. Because the guy who was the boss at Gate Gourmet, he's left.
Yeah.
He wants to run a coffee shop, start his own coffee shop. So he comes in, wants some money. And then I lend it to him. He goes, no, I'll go for a run. I'll fucking make a good earn. That way I don't owe anybody.
Yeah.
And so he goes over and tries to grab a few kilos, comes back, drops it, same routine, drops it in the toilet. You see him, like I said, there's a show. He's seen cruising through the airport. He's got his duty free bag. He's just cruising. He's gone through customs, mate. And as soon as you go downstairs to get your bag, mate, they just come from everywhere. It shows a bang, come with us. And then they'd already got the guys from Gate Gourmet, you know, on the hoist. They're going through. So they've watched him go and get the shit, put it back in the truck, the Gate Gourmet truck. And then they've gone about their business and they just come out from everywhere, mate, they reckon, and just grabbed everybody, mate. Well, that was it. It was just a roll on, mate. Because I get a text from my mate who goes, mate, it's all good, it's sweet. So I boom. So I text my people who wanted this shit. I went, mate, it's all good. You know what I mean? We all had burners back then.
Yeah.
None of these, what are those things they use, everyone uses now, those phones, those encrypted things.
Oh, BlackBerry.
BlackBerry, yeah. I I'm illiterate, so I don't. I'm not tech savvy.
Yeah, you had the $30 Nokia.
Yeah, exactly. Mate, the same thing. I'd go one and I'd make a couple of texts and just toss it, get another one, you know? Had the bloke at the phone shop. He was sweet.
He must have loved you.
Oh, mate. Yeah.
He's had so many phones in his life.
So, so he gets pinched at the airport. They come and hit me hard. Mate, they just fucking, like I said, like they just come running from everywhere.
So that's a bit of a story. Remember you telling me when the cops got you at the White House? You're sitting there with the kids or something, making them smoothies?
I was making juice.
I was
making juice. Because remember, we did a photo shoot at my house. Remember, we come in, I think it was with Sam McIntosh and all that.
We did a Brothers Keeper photo shoot.
Yeah, that's right. We did too. Remember that now. Just come back to me.
Fuck, it seems like yesterday, right?
Oh, no, the big White House. Hey, fuck. I tell you what, yeah.
It was quite the house.
Oh, it was.
Everything white. White couch, white floors.
Oh, mate. What, big white bed imported from Italy, lounges there, mate.
It was ironic that you're dealing coke, which is white.
Yeah. You know?
Mate, I tell you. Where is it? I can't fucking see it.
Yeah, 100%. You're bending down looking at the table. Where is that one? You know, on the benches. You know,
is it a pillow? Or oh, that's a brick. A brick of two.
Yeah. Yeah, so like, as they come down, you know, I'm making the kids some juices and stuff, mate. And I just seen them coming from here and my guts just sunk. It just sunk, but not like, you know, when you're on a roller coaster, it didn't sink like that. I just went, fuck, you know? I wonder what these fuckers know. Then when they come through, open the door, like they've come through, they've grabbed me, or they haven't grabbed me, they've circled me. Mm. There's cameras everywhere because they're doing that AFP show. Right? So I don't know this, but there's cameras everywhere, mate. The road's blocked off. I start bridging up, you know what I mean? Because I go, mate, I don't want my kids on camera.
Yeah.
I got little 20 kids, mate. My uncle's was like 4. She's like, she just turned 4. And I said, mate, I don't want these my kids. And I said, turn the fucking things off. Nah, we won't film the kids. I said, mate, so they circle me. I said, yous will get me. I said, but I guarantee I'll get fucking one or two of yous. I said, so, but that's how it was, you know. I'm going, mate, I'm cool. I said, but don't film the kids. Nah, we promise. I said, mate, they word means fucking nothing. Like, it doesn't, you know what I mean? Then the head guy comes down. Where is he? We got him. Yeah. I just said, I'm in my pajamas. I said, give me a cigarette, will ya? So he goes, all right. So they take me out the back. And I have a cigarette, you know. And he goes, I said, show me the warrant. I said, where's the warrant, mate? I said, you want to run here like a blue-ass fly? I said, where's the warrant? Let me look. He goes, here, he's here. So I'm looking and I'm reading. I go, who the fuck's that? This is what I said. And he goes, Brandy Brand. He goes, remember this, though. This is 2009, September 20th. He goes, Brandy Brandt, he goes, you met her at 9:15 on March 13th in 2007 at the Swiss Grand Hotel in room 247. You were there for 7 minutes. Mate, I swear to God, mate, soon as he, mate, boy, this is fucking 2.5 years later. As soon as he says this, right, I go, fuck. I said, mate, they got some shit. If this guy is memorizing this from 2.5 years ago. I go, oh, mate. Give us another, can I have another cigarette? And he goes, oh, what, something you didn't like there? I said, it's all goody. I played the guy. Nah, it's all goody. This is the only thing they said. So I had another cigarette. I said, let me get changed, please. So I go downstairs, they follow me. I get changed.
What are you thinking, sir?
Well, I'm just thinking, because everything is so fast. So your head's in a bit of a spin, and that's how they do it, because they want your head in a spin. So you're kind of like fucking, you don't know how to react, really. You don't. But I was pretty cool. I didn't have that kid. I just went, I said, this is it. Went down. I got chased. I said, let's get him out of the house before people know, and all his mates start coming and making it hard for us. So and that's when they'll show you, you know, I'm walking out handcuffed. And I remember kissing the kids goodbye. I kissed my ex-partner, or my partner at the time. I kissed her goodbye. Her sister comes down the stairs. You can remember this so vividly. Like, it's just so clear. Very clear. I gave her a kiss on the cheek. I said, make sure she's all right. I walk up, right? So no one says anything. Only the copper that was running the show. Not one of the copper really says anything. You know what I mean? Apart from, oh, we're not going to film your kids. You know, so, and then the guy, he's Greg Hines or something like that. He was the leading one, you know. I swear, this guy looked like, you know that little copper in the fucking Simpsons? You know that little pig? Yes, but I'm not just trying to, but you ever seen the bloke? He's a little short, fat bloke with a turned up nose. I'm just talking, in my head, I'm laughing. Come on, this little fat fuck, you know. And so he comes in, throws me in the back seat. I walk up the road, the car's up there. I sit in the back seat. There's not a word said, mate. Hit it. They don't ask me nothing. I get back to the federal building. I get taken upstairs. By this stage, Melissa had called my legal team. So Bill Brewer, he turned up, you know what I mean? So we sat in there, mate. Yeah, mate, I've used this bill for years, you know what I mean? Since 1994. He goes, mate, you know the procedure, mate. I said, yeah. So he gives us another cigarette. So I go downstairs. I have a cigarette, mate, and I go up. Then they take me to Surry Hills for the booking. Not a word said, mate. So, mate, there probably hasn't been a word said with the feds or nothing, you know. So I get up to Surry Hills and then I see the boys coming. my mate who was the boss of the gate gourmet who had left, you know what I mean. So they've brought him back from the airport. I see the gate gourmet boys because they're in their clothes and that. I'm going, fuck. I mean, I'm going, fuck. They've got us all, motherfuckers. So I'm in there reading. It's in the morning. They grab me like, about 6:30, maybe 7 o'clockish. So I'm hungry, a couple of pies, fucking a bit of fruit. I'm having a coffee. I'm cool. So what they do is then they give me the fact sheet. They're at the back typing up all the facts, and that's what they give to the judge. And obviously they just put the most juiciest parts in there.
Yeah.
So I start reading it, right? I start reading it, and I realize how much they got on me. I'm just went and all the things because, you know, what happened was they fucking got all the burners I had. So what they had a unit set across the road and they had like a scanner. So anything that was going on, if I opened the computer and went into the computer, they could read what I was doing.
Wow.
Yeah, yes. They had it. And then they their other setup was on the top of Maroubra Police Station. Fire Station. Just on Maroubra Road there, you know, the fire station. Mate, the whole top floor was set out for me. Wow. You know what I mean? And then they hired a unit across the road from me in French Street. I mean, mate, they're fucking all over me. Like, yo, seriously, I couldn't believe it. And then, so we're sitting there and I get the fact sheet. And I realise, mate, okay, I'm in a spot above here. Because as soon as I read it, I had to shit. I go, Chief, mate, I said, can I go to the toilet, please? And he kind of had a giggle because, you know, it must be, you know, you come in with a little bit of arrogance. Let's see how much they got. And then once you read it, you must see it all the time. I go, mate, can I shit? He goes, oh, yeah, sweet. So I went down and shit, and I just sat back. I went, I'm fucked. So I'm in Surry Hills. I'm in there for about 8 days. And then they took me to Silverwater. So my first visit with Melissa, because that was my partner at the time, I looked at her and I said, mate, I said, Han, I said, these guys have been sweating on me for fucking years. I said, I'm telling you, this is exactly what I said. I said, I'm doing 10. I said, I'm telling you now, I'm doing 10. I said, no. I said, get in your head, I'm doing 10. I was spot on the money. I was spot on, they get this, we're like, what game? 16 with 10. Obviously, 6 years parole, but I served 10 full years, you know? And that's what I had in my head. I knew because the way I went about everything and the arrogance I showed him, and even the judge could see that.
Yeah.
Yeah. This guy, man, he ain't going to stop. Man, I'll go pinch me one, I'll bring two in, they get me with another one. It was just the consistency of things that you know, and then I'm flicking them off because they're parked up there. What are you doing, you pushes of shit? It was just, you know, I just showed.
Did you get bail?
No.
No.
We put we put the two houses up. We had Mascot House, the Maroubra House. my partner at the time, her mum put up 250 grand. A good mate of mine put up 250 grand. At the end, we had $3.75 million worth of bail, and they wouldn't let me out.
Wow. Would you have done it, rather?
No way. I would have done it. No, I wouldn't have done. No, I wouldn't have done. Mate, where am I going to run to? I've got four kids. Well, I'm run, go on the run for the rest of my life. Mate, there's people on the run, mate. They want to come back here.
Yeah.
They want to come back. You know what I mean? But this is where everything is. This is where your family is. People are dying. They can't even go to funerals. I didn't even, mate, if I got bail, I would have sorted out all my affairs. Because I knew what they had, you know. So that's what I would have done. I wouldn't have run.
No.
Too hard for everybody, mate. Like, you know what I mean? Like, where am I going to go?
Yeah.
Brazil, fuck, live in Turkey or something. Mate, yeah, fuck, they're not my place.
I can see you in Brazil.
I can see you in Brazil. Yeah, true.
In Mexico,
yeah. Yeah, but see, they can extradite you from Mexico. So,
oh,
yeah,
really?
Yeah.
Okay, I thought Mexico was...
nah, like what happened is that they will pass the warrant to America. America has got all authority. Man, they can extradite anybody from Mexico.
Wow.
Yes. So you have to figure out where, you know, you go to Greece. Mate, look at Mockbell. Mate, they're all getting, you know, extradited. So where are you going?
Yeah, true.
You know what I mean? So you do, these little things come up because people do ask you over the years, oh, would you have done that? I said, mate, where would I have gone?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then, mind you, you have to have a stack of cash. I had plenty there, but like when you're raising four kids and there's private schools and there's functions and when we go and have a season, we've got the best fillers and we're all flying business class, mate. It goes. And then you've got to remember, in the end, mate, I was losing money. Like, even though I had that stack,
yeah.
Mate, look, figure, I've lost nearly 20 kilos. I've already paid for that, right?
Yeah.
So there's a couple of hundred thousand gone straight off the bat. Plus you're paying people's airfares and this and that, you know what I mean? So it's like everything's going out and nothing's coming in. Yeah, so at the end, that's what I said. But yeah, fuck it. Let's just try and recoup a little bit of money back and get back on the horses, say, you know? So
what kind of inducements did the cops offer you to roll?
They didn't ask me nothing.
Didn't they?
They didn't ask me one thing. They didn't ask me. They didn't even say one word to me. They knew because they'd been watching me for so long. Mate,
there was nothing you could give them.
Well, you can roll another cruise or whatever.
Yeah.
But fucking, those thoughts don't even enter your mind.
Yeah.
They don't. you are how you are.
Yeah. And the cops aren't saying, hey, we can, it'll be 5 years if you give us a little bit of this, a little bit of that.
Mate, when the feds met that Greg Hines, I said, when he ran into the house, there was a couple of words said. I go, who's this lady? He gave me, you met her, rah, rah, rah. Mate, that was it, mate. When they took me out and they put me in the car, there was not one word said from the car ride from Maroubra all the way to the federal building. I spoke to my brother, barrister. He goes, you know the procedure? Got to say, there was nothing, mate. So there was hours. What can I say to him? I'm not going to talk. I've never spoken to a cop in my life. I'm not going to fucking start back then. You know what I mean? So I'd rather just, you know, I'd rather walk out with my head up.
Yeah, and if you're wrong, then you do spend the rest of your life looking over your shoulder for that too.
Well, but how are you going to walk around and face people here?
Yeah.
Mate, there's that many pieces of shit around anyway. You know what I mean? I'm going to walk around and go, oh, mate, that bloke, he's a bad giver. Fucked up. This is the game. This is what you chose. This is what I don't understand people that roll. This is a life you chose that. You chose it, you know what I mean? So when the shit goes, you want to live the fucking life of Riley and be the man and this, but when you get pinched, you want to sit there and fucking roll and get half the cent. Like, that's putrid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Face the fucking man up and you cop it on the fucking chin and you move on. That's how I've always done it, mate.
So when you got sentenced, you just go, yeah, sort of figured anyway?
Well, I've been in jail 2 years one day when they sentenced me. And I looked in, you know, all the people in my gallery are all there. They're all crying on the other side. I've got all the reporters and the feds and that there kind of like smirking and that. And I just laughed. And I said, what are you crying for? I said, at least I'm out of your hair for another fucking 8 years. You know what I mean? They kind of had a little giggle at that, you know. But the next day I was very numb. So I got back. I didn't get back till very late.
So where are you, the stage, Park Lee?
No, Long Bay.
Long Bay.
You know, heaps of boys there. What happened, Wayne? And I said, oh, mate, I've got fucking 10 on the board. And they went, get fucked. I said, yeah, I still got 8 to go. And they went on top. I said, 6. They went, what? They went, what the fuck? You know what I mean? For fucking lousy 20 kilos. I laughed. I said, mate, 20 kilos? I said, that's a fucking weekend out in Sydney. I said, it's nothing. That's all I did. That was my joke, you know?
Yeah.
Guys are coming to South America. Mate, there's a ton here, half a ton. You know what I mean? I've got a lousy 20. I said, mate, but some guys are getting fucking 9, you know what I mean, for 40 kilos. I'm just going. So the way I figured it was, the Yaringots, I think I showed towards everything, and like, fuck them, you know, fuck everything, you know. I think that's what really cemented a couple of extra years, I think.
Was it worth it?
No. It wasn't worth it, mate. Look, don't get me wrong. I didn't miss a day or a night. If there was a fucking party on overseas, mate, I'm flying to the boat. You know what I mean? If the waves were on, I was there. Mate, you know, so I was living in a fairy tale. I was living in, let's just say, you live in a bubble. And I was living in my own little bubble, which I absolutely love. And look, would you take it back? I wouldn't, because I wouldn't know the people I would today.
No, I mean the arrogance thing. Do you wish you were kind of, you know, polite or anything?
Oh, yeah, I do, 100%. 100%. I wish I never gave them grief. I wish I didn't show that arrogance towards them, or that fucking, that nasty hate, mate. They're doing their job, mate. You know what I mean? Fuck, mate, that's what it is. I'm doing my job, they're doing their job. You know, I mean, fucking good on you. You know, that's how it is. That's how I become later.
Yeah.
Mate, they're doing their fucking job, mate. You know, that's their job. It's a future job. We wouldn't do it.
Yeah. So did you miss surfing?
100%. You know what? My first thing I wanted to do was just walk the beach with my kids and feel the sand between my toes with my girls. After we kind of did that and we hung out for the first day, we both went surfing, but it was a little bit big for her. You know, this is the first day I got out. It was a little bit big, so I pushed into a couple. It was a bit rough for her, so because it was a solid 4 foot and it was a nice big perch right here at North End. And I went out for a surf. I said to my dad, I said, I'll only be about an hour, mate. I was, mate, about 2.5, 3 hours late. I was pumping, mate. I just, my timing was out. Mate, bum bucks, all the burpees over here. Mate, jumping up, cruising. It was just my timing.
Yeah.
reading the waves a little bit. But, mate, honestly, I reckon, mate, fucking a couple of days in, like a couple of consistent surfs, mate, I was back. I swear, I just felt so good. I had no drugs or no drink in me for over 11 years, you know what I mean? So I was fresh, I was clean, and I was consistent. That's what I find now. I'm more consistent in things, you know, like you're on the drugs and you're drinking, you're coming down on the Zennies and Valiums or whatever. So you're going up and down. So life was like a roller coaster. But now that I'm like this, I'm just consistent for the board. So I go, I consistently surf the same, my training's the same, you know. So I just, when I got out there, mate, I never, even right now, if I'm having a little day, go, the waves of shit, I just sit, I stop. How good is it? How good is this? That's what I do. If I get a little bit off, sidetracked, you know, but I'm just grateful for everything. It's like, you know what it is? It's like you've been stripped naked, fucking thrown into the wolves, you've come out, and you're ready to go. That's honestly how it is.
How did it feel to go back to Solander? Because you got some pretty good waves there this winter. Mate.
Look, I seen it, and I was like, fuck, look at this. It was pumping. My adrenaline was, I was frothing hard, you know what I mean? But I have to hold the reins a little bit. It's like you can't sprint all the time. It's like a horse. You're going to run it down into the ground. So a human's the same. You know, I've got to hold the reins a little bit. So we go out there. Set comes in. I've got poor Doody driving. I said, fucking go. And then people, but they were here. Don't fucking, well, mate, they've been getting waves for 10. I said, just fucking go. And that was it, mate. It was on.
When you're inside, did you think about getting chewed? When you thought about surfing, what did you think about?
Well, I kind of had to block everything out, mate, really. I did. Don't get me wrong, I was remembering ways. Oh, when I was down in Porto, I was in Hawaii with the boys. I'm over in Kauai surfing rifles and shit, and Brucey and that, and hanging out with the boys, and fucking Nate Fletcher, McCoover, Kalar, mate, all those boys, they're fucking legends, you know, and they always looked after me, and man, we always had such a good time. And so you reminisce, but I didn't sit there and go, because I'm not there. There's no point putting yourself somewhere where you're not. I'm not out here, mate. Okay, even though you've got little issues or whatever going on, you can only manage them over a phone call, a 6-minute phone call. You know what I mean? So I never had my head out there. Mate, when I got done, mate, that was, I knew. I knew in my head I was getting 10. I just knew it. And I said to myself, I said, mate, this is it. I can't have living out there, my head living out here, but I'm really in here and I can't do nothing out there. So I just pretty much fucking numb. Like, it's like root and shit. What am I going to do? Mate, you can't, you know what I mean? You're not got chillers, mate, you're not surfing, mate, you can't eat a steak. You know, there's no chicken and shit, you know, barbecue chickens, you know, there's no fresh vegetables when you're in Maxi. There's nothing. So you can't, otherwise time goes long. Oh, yeah, well, they, what about this? Don't get me wrong, you still got a lot of stories. Mate, I was telling them stories, like, all the times they love, the boys love living the story because a lot of them haven't done what I've done. I travelled around the world and surfing and shit like that, you know, and they're hearing the stories and, and at the bay, you can get things sent in. So my brother will send them magazines with me in the front cover and that, you know what I mean? They're double page spreads of this and that. So a little boy, oh, yeah, unreal one. And I said, mate, I said, I'm not one of these guys that's going to sit in the yard and fucking tell you bullshit stories. I said, no, no, no. Because, mate, you hear them all in there, you know? And so it was good, you know what I mean? It was good in where I would reminisce and tell stories, but I wouldn't sit there going, oh, fuck, did you swear? Oh, fuck. You know, I wasn't like that. I ring up the boys. Hey, what's going on? Why is this shit? I said, what are you talking about? I said, I'm watching the fucking news, you knucklehead. I said, man, look at this stuff. My house has got to be 10 foot. Just tell me. I said, I've never been one of those people that have been jealous of other people. If you're getting good wages, I'm genuinely happy for you.
Yeah.
Doesn't always work with everybody, you know what I mean? Other people go, I'm fucking, you know what I mean? But I'm genuinely happy for people. If you're getting, I said, bro, get some. I said, get one for me, you know what I mean? So that's how I've kind of always been. So, but when I got out, I made sure I didn't miss one swell. I made sure I didn't miss one, mate.
So 12 years ago, you had $2.5 million cash in your hand, and you had houses everywhere, and tons of money. Now, don't have any assets.
Nothing. don't even own a car.
But I can see the ocean from your deck, and you're surfing heaps. What essential truths did you learn about life from being inside and from this whole experience?
Well, it's funny, you always hear these things when you got no money, you go, wouldn't it be great to have money? These people, they whinge about all these problems, mate. For me, growing up in the housing commission, like down the bottom, been to the top, went back to the bottom. Mate, now I've come out and I've realised just the simple things in life. Mate, that's it. Walking down the road, getting a coffee. You can do that, mate. What about having a nice steak with a nice salad? Just my taste buds were exploding when I came out because all the foods, your taste buds have been numb for so long, you know, like 5.5 years. So I get the sets, like I'm having steaks. And, mate, my taste buds were bursting. So, and I always just say to people, mate, just the little things, mate. Just be grateful for the little things, mate. Walking around with no shoes on the grass. The sand, jumping in the water, mate. Like literally, I'll literally jump in the water nearly every single day. But even when I go for a walk and just, even though it's cold, boom, I dive in and then get back out. I'm just grateful just for the smallest little things. I didn't need the big house on the hill. Mate, my kids didn't need to run around in Nike shoes and go to expensive schools. Mate, all my kids wanted was me. That's all they, mate, at the end of the, that's all they wanted. They wanted their dad beside them having fun. But I thought it was cool. I didn't think it was cool. I thought it was necessary because I had the means to do it. Send to private schools, do the best I could for them. And then when everything got fucking pulled, like the rug just got ripped underneath me. Boom. Mate, I got nothing. Like there's, like I've come out to nothing. You know, like the ex left me as a George Foreman grill. Mate, that's what she,
I just, they're a damn good grill.
Oh, mate.
Fucking hell, it's not bad.
Look at the boards they sent back home. That's just taking a piss, isn't it? Like, be honest.
Yeah, Wayne points it to very yellow Sulakis boards. Very, very yellow surfboards.
Oh, mate, what are they? They're like two and a quarter feet.
Yeah, I think one was, you know, 6'3" by 8 3/4" by 2 3/8" or something. It was a wild looking craft. It actually looks like it was from 1995 or something.
It does.
But I guess you know, finally you were away for 10 years. How did the world change?
It got fast. That's what it did. It got fast, mate. But we're like just everybody is in a rush. Mate, there's so many more cars on the road. There's Everybody seems to be busy.
The good shit is you can have every single song ever made on your phone. Just stream it to your Bluetooth speaker. That's pretty sick.
I just learned that.
Yeah.
That stuff is good. And then like the Instagram and all that type of stuff. So everyone's sending you your stuff. Oh, I'm just, look, it took me 3 months. I refused to have any of that stuff. So the 3 months I was first out, I just didn't have anything. I just went, mate, do I really need it? I never had it before, but now I'm addicted to them. That's why I'm falling into that trap. I get up, check the Insta, people are sending me, mate, what are you doing? Yeah, look at these waves, you know, like all the boys. I speak to the boys over in Hawaii all the time, you know, and overseas. So that's a good thing. So technology has grown so far where everybody's connected. Like I think I used, was it Skype? Back in the day when I was in Hawaii. Skype, yeah. So I used Skype so I could see the kids when I was in Hawaii and stuff. And yeah. I used to speak to Laurent. Prejean. I used to, all the time, mate. Laurent's the grouse. Yeah, we spent time in Hawaii together all the time. We're in France and stuff. Yeah,
you had a wild time in France, didn't you, back in 2000? Mate. A few trips to Wales, I believe.
Mate, I've got a little confession to make, all right? You probably already know this, but you're hearing it for the horse's mouth. Mate, you were very good to me when I got locked up in France, mate. You come and visited me every day. How many, was I in there, like 9 days or something?
Yeah, there for a while.
You come every single day, mate. I thank you for that. And I lied through my teeth and said that wasn't me that did that, but it was.
Yeah, I know that.
Yeah, you know that. I knew you did, but you hadn't heard it from me.
No.
I ran that copper straight over, mate. I was off my head. I was full of shit. I was on that Absinthe.
At the casino, huh?
Yeah, but we left Hossigor, so we left Rockford.
Yeah.
Just pile everyone in the car, come fucking flying down the road at the roundabout at Hossigor at the top, you know. So I've come in, this chick kind of stepped out, just like, you know, there's a little crossing before you get to the roundabout. So she's kind of bounced off the car. This cop was turning to look and he's jumped in the way. I've just literally ran him over. He's jumped out, so I ran over his leg, like his leg got broken. So yeah. When he turned up the court, he was in plaster, right?
Yeah.
I went around the wrong way at the fucking roundabout. And I went around on the wrong side of the road. As I'm going down the hill, you know, so you're coming down, I'm on the wrong side of the road because all the traffic's built up because everyone's leaving. This car comes around, so I just screech. He screeches, we went bang. The people headbutt the windscreen. I reversed, but up on the fucking footpath, boom. Like, little do I know, I drive 500 metres down the road to the casino, just pull in, bang. I kept partying.
Yeah.
Well, when I came out, right, oh, fuck, it's daylight. I think I was with fucking Loro, actually, from Arnie, right? I was with a few heads, because I remember his head. And I'm looking at the van, right? And I go, fuck, all the tires are flat. I went, what the fuck? And then I pushed the button and jumped in, and that's when the gendarme, mate, just fucking manhandled. They treated me like a redheaded stepchild. That's what they did, I swear. Bang, they just flew me in the back, fucking shotgun to the head. Oh, it was crazy. And that's, and then I remember I kept on blaming Johnny Chauvert. Yeah, I was Johnny, mate, I swear. I just got the keys of this. It's just a fictitious name. We just made the thing up, you know. It was you. I said, nah, it wasn't, mate. I had to stand staunch, mate, because I had to fucking keep me lie out because... They wanted to give me like 8 or something years when I went to court.
You would have been gone for a while. Oh. I remember having the chicks from our office talking to the cops. And,
remember? Yeah, man, that little French blonde, yeah, she can't shoot a good little spot. She was. It was funny. So I never confessed. Yeah, I knew you knew. Yeah,
I'd rather you didn't confess anyway.
Back then, but now it's all.
You don't need to know, bro.
Yeah. It was funny that you say that because when you brought it up before, like you've been, I've been, I'll come clean today.
Hey, thanks so much, Curtis.
All right, you're a champion. Thank you, Derek. Well. Pleasure. Until I turn 16, when Joe.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.